June the 22nd, 2022, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warth Din Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomiragespeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Controlling you from a space station in your soul. Getting back to the real thing, it says, he will rise upon the air, become a prince of the air, not this air, your spirit, human spirit. He will rise upon the human spirit after he remakes your spirit, reforms your spirit. Then he knows how to ride the spirit that he made. He will ride upon that spirit and ascend above your head and be working on you from afar, controlling you from a space station in your soul, but he's not through. The control is completely out of the original hand of the original man. The Bible says that his aim is to go up high enough so he will reach the throne, the very seat of God, and sit on it, performing as though he is God. Yes. Well, that's what has happened. He has taken over the abstract life. That's the most precious life. Our most precious life is not flesh, bones, and all this physical stuff. Our most precious life is our conscience and how our intelligence developed inside of it. That is the most precious life. And if he can take over our psyche, our intelligent activity in our soul or psyche, and if he can take over that and manage it without our knowing that he has infiltrated or that he has invaded our own life, he has taken over our control. He has us thinking that we are controlling our life. Control is completely out of the original hand of the original man. So this is reality we have to deal with. This is the reality we have to face. So we read in the Quran, let us get the light and help that God has revealed for dealing with this thing and defeating it in our life, in our families, and in our community. So we have the light and the power to defeat in our life, in our families, in our community life. We have it as plain as day. We can defeat it. Imam W.D. Muhammad has faith in us. I said yesterday, I believe in you. I have faith in you. I wouldn't be working this hard day and night for this work, for this cause, if I didn't believe in you. I believe in you, so you believe in me. You don't have to have a scholar from Al-Azhar University or a degree from Mecca, Medina, or from anywhere. You don't have to have any of that. You can have nothing. You can come here streaming. And if you listen to me long enough, buddy, we will become great workers for this cause. And we will accomplish it. Oh, yes, we will accomplish it in our lifetime. And we will have a great society here in the United States. So we are going to do it. We are doing it. And we are making progress. And we are going to complete it. So we know that the schemes of Satan, and Allah says, fight the schemes of Satan, for his schemes are weak. meaning it depends only on human weakness. He doesn't come to a strong religious person with that. No. He has to corrupt the weak and put so much corruption in the environment of the strong to take over the environment, to take over the community. So he doesn't come to strength. He goes around strength. He doesn't want that. He is looking for weakness. He comes to weakness, and he knows that if he can get the weak that are in the majority, understand this. Allah says that most of the Christians, they are disbelievers, and you look at them in the life, you know that. You came up amongst them, not just in the time of the climatic corruption, but even before, you knew that most of the Christians, they couldn't be trusted. You would not trust most of them. You trust a few of them. You know a few that you could trust. You had a chance and a congregation, and you knew a lot of them in there were not right. You knew that. I heard somebody say, yes, I wasn't right in there myself. Well, I hope you are right in this. And I believe you are. I believe you. I trust you. You are right here. The logical time for events. So what I want to say is this, is the time that all of those things that were predicted came together and they reached their fulfillment, their biggest possible presence on this earth. The time has come already. It can't go any further. No, they are doomed. Everything that was prophesied has happened. Corruption that was spread over land and sea and reach everybody. That has happened. People will be made to be babble and not speak intelligently. That has happened. Everything that you see in scripture pointing to the end of time, what they call eschatological time for events that develop because of man's growing life on this planet Earth. Yes, we have reached it. We are living in that day. These are the last days. So these are the last days. We are living in the last days, the fulfillment of great prophecy. And we have survived. Isn't that wonderful? We have survived the end of time. We have survived the conclusion for Satan's great, great final. Yes, he has lived to see it. We have lived to see his great final are still intact. Oh, it's a wonderful time for us. No matter what is happening out there, it says a great and dreadful day, right? So great for the righteous and dreadful for the wicked. So don't say, oh, yes, but things are still bad. I can't pay my phone bill, and I can't do this or that. All of that is a little petty stuff. Hold on to your life. A new world is rising up. Everything is going to be fine. You can be hungry for a few more days. You can worry about the light bill for a few more days. Just hold on. Soon a great society is going to be established amongst us in these United States of America. So when I come back, I'm going to give you some more good news. Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum to you again, and Ramadan Mubarak. In the Quran, Allah Most High says, as revelation to Muhammad to all mankind, especially to the believers of the followers of Prophet Muhammad, kana asusu al-ala ma'i. Kana asusu al-ala ma'i. The throne was established before on the water. So with that revelation in the Quran, I understand that through the people, though the people turn bad, their intentions become bad, intentions instead of good. The bad people get into the picture, and get into control. It does not always mean because it is condemned and because they have taken advantage of the natural situation that the natural situation is bad. It only there to let us know that a terrible thing has happened, but not necessarily that the situation was bad. It was good in its time. But because of design by the Shaitan and his followers of the wicked people, the situation became bad and Allah replaced it with another. He replaced it with another in accordance with his plan or in accordance with the development of human life as it progresses. As human life progresses and the development progresses, then what was used in the past is not best for the new situation, where people's lives have advanced from needing the kind of help or support it was getting before, and it had advanced where it is mandated or required a more advanced or a more progressed situation. Church life is terrible for African Americans. Some people, because of habit, because of sometimes corruption, lack of faith, they continue with something that they know teach human life or hold back human life from reaching the development that Allah, the Creator, wants for us, for it. And they just continue out of habit, sometimes continue out of greed, and sometimes just in ignorance. They continue to exploit human life for self-gain. And I hate to put down our people, and I hate to put down the church, but on the whole, church life is bad for African Americans. I do not like to say it, but I am forced to say it. Church life is bad for our people. On the whole, it just keeps them in the water. And God said that his throne was upon the water, but then he changed it, and he said, "Wasiya kasiru husami waati wa atbi." His throne extends over the heavens and the earth. So this is revealing to us growth for the administration or for the rule of human society on this planet earth. It is progressing in time, in the time when it is dependent on fishing in the water of human sensitivity. In the Bible, God showed Jesus Christ beginning his mission, and he went out and he called the fishermen to come in and support his mission. They were fishing from boats in the water, and he told them, "Follow me, and I will teach you how to become fishermen of men." So fishing in human emotion means that the intelligence is limited to reflex. Again, here we see Muhammad's life and mission and Christ Jesus' life and mission parallel here. They are very similar. They are running together in that they have the same purpose. And so Jesus said, "I will make you fishermen of men." So he was talking, he was taking them to the land. And what he was saying in that one little statement is that people who depend on the human feelings and sensitivity, working the human feelings and sensitivity, the people that they convert to their leadership or to their way are not men. They are like fish. A fish's characteristics as a symbol of his life is used as a symbol or as a parable, so to speak. Its characteristics of the quick responses, what you call reflex activity. So when we are describing people and fish, this is what we are saying, that they are on that level where their mind, their intelligence is reflex. You touch me and I say, "Who is that? Hey, what's going on?" That's reflex, fish. So when you notice them in a fish bowl, or if you have seen them swim in a pond or something, they are under reflex. They go in one direction, and until something gets their attention, then they quickly respond to it. They either go to it or they go away from it. Fish are known for reflex activity, reflex responses. And people who are given a religion or a religious message or preaching that wants to arouse their feelings and emotions over a period of generations, the people themselves will become fish, reflex. And if you speak to them, the brain muscles for rational insight are not there. When you speak to them, they are non-responsive. When you speak to them or give their minds something that requires them to use reason, so that kind of state in the human intelligence is described as thunder and lightning. The light of intelligence is on for a short while. Like when the lightning flashes, it is not on for too long. But sometimes the flash is so bright at night, you can see what is happening around you. Allah said it flashes and goes away. And they are in the dark again. They have to stop. Again, they cannot proceed. Our people have been worked on so much by preachers in the church that works nothing but your feelings, your emotions, for so much over a period of generations. They tend not to want to think. Isn't that pitiful? We tend not to want to think. We just want to react. And I think our preachers know better now. The majority of our preachers, they know that they are holding our people back, but they are so used to it, and that is their profession. That is their good thing, and they don't want to give it up. And the word of God amongst many of them, the Imam Wallaceddin Muhammad, is against it. So most of them, they do not want to see me. They do not want to talk to me or anything. But they respect me, and I believe privately they love me because they know I love them. I would not want them to change if I did not love them. If you do not love a person, you do not want to see them change to the better state. You don't care. But they know I love them. In the end of time, one of the signs is that the beast, the great deceiver, will be in a lake of fire. There'll be in a lake on the water, but his lake will be turned into a lake of fire, and he is in it. Now, lack of fire would be a fire of the passion that destroys people, that is uncontrolled, unintelligent passion that destroys people. But the lake of fire could also be the fire of passion against what has been happening to those in that condition. In other words, it could be a fire that the best, that the beast did not ignite. It could be a fire that God planned that would one day come and consume the beast, and that is what happened eventually. All of this science on the nature of human life in community or in society and the challenges that life has to face or meet, even from the deceivers, and how that life is going to survive because of God's plan for it, how it is going to survive all of these interruptions, all of these bad conditions, it is going to survive. And the thing that works for the deceiver will turn against the deceiver themselves. So they work on our feelings and our sensitivity and our passion, but there will come a time when those passions rebel against those who deceive the human life. Then the passion that they have fired up, now they have made us a people of great passion, strong passion, a passionate people. So when those passions turn against the deceiver, oh boy, they will have a fire on their hands. That is the prediction of Scripture. Many things are not given as predictions, but they are predictions. They are given as pictures, descriptions, But those descriptions are also predictions telling us what the future is and what is going to happen in the end. So really, we are living in that time right now. Look at how the youngsters are. The church can't get them. They won't follow anybody. I'm talking about the rebellious youngsters. They form their own association, their own organization. Some of them are criminals, some are not. But all of them do not hear a thing from us. They do not want to hear a thing from the establishment. They don't trust any establishment. And they are very passionate or full of energy. They are ready to hurt something. Some of them are waking up and turning around saying, this is not positive. What we are doing is negative. They are independent of us and forming their own leadership. And one day, we are going to see some great man, leader, come from them. I believe it is already happening. Great leaders are going to come from this abused and misdirected young generation that we have. And when they turn all of that energy in the right direction, they are going to be great for their society, for their people, and they are going to be too much for the schemes of Satan. Lake water turned red. So I see that the beast really human, burning in his own fire. I can see that he is actually burning in his own fire. And if you study the word lake, they use it for a reason. In scripture, if you look up the word lake, it does not mean clear water. It means water turned red. Now, you know that is not the color of the lakes. Lakes have clear water. The water is not colored, but the term says a deep red dye substance has been put into the water. So the liquid contains a deep red dye substance. So that is why the word lake is used in the Bible for the beast, that he will be consumed in a lake of fire. One of the curses upon the people. Allah's throne is universal, not subjective. So the topic is the throne was upon the water. The throne had to come from being subjective to being universal rather than subjective. And Allah revealed that, his throne, that he wants us to establish as Muslims, is universal, not subjective. So that is why he revealed now that his throne extends over the heavens and the earth, or the skies and the earth, universal. Lake water turned to blood red. One of the curses that were on the Egyptians were that the oppressing, the chosen people that Allah, our Lord, the Creator had chosen for his purpose, were in bondage to Pharaoh. So many curses or plagues came, right? So some of you who read the Bible, you know this. One of them was that the water was turned to be to blood red. Turning water red also means social teachings. Now, that is what I am trying to do right now. I'm trying to reach our people and turn the holy water red. The holy water used by the religious leaders in our community. I want to turn it red. I want to change it from being spiritual teaching to being social teachings. Government works with religion and ungodly words to control the masses. The Pharaoh, that Pharaoh who is in the Bible as a wicked oppressor, every Pharaoh was not like that. I studied ancient Egyptian history. Some of their leaders were very good. Some of the Pharaohs were very good for their people. All of them were not like that. It was just one. In that period of time, the Pharaoh of that time, of Moses, the persecution, or enslavement of Moses, his people. So he depended on very mysterious symbolic religions to hold the masses of the people. He had a priesthood that worked directly with him in government to control the people. Do you know government and religion works together in the ungodly world to control the masses of the people? That's how it was in that time. And I'm not saying all churches. I'm not saying all leaders. I'm not saying all government people, no, but it is enough support amongst the church leaders or religious leaders and enough support in the government to keep the thing going. So they have an alliance, a pact that works together to keep the masses ignorant, that baby is. Education is the greatest tool for advancing society. We cannot get where we want to go and get our people where they should go if we just pretend that we do not see these things. No, we have to inform people. Education is the greatest tool for advancing society. So education is lost often when developers control it. But do not think that education is always in an academia or in public school systems, or in the school established for the people. No, it is lost many times. The main help for the intellect or for the mind of people is lost many times because the world decides education. Do you know the big developers, the big investors in industry? They control governments and education. And we only see opposition to them when a bright intelligence appears, intellect appears, somewhere in the country, or a group of them. Usually it is a group, because a bright intellect is not going to be happy by himself. He is going to have to find some companions to work with him. So it turns out to be a small group of people who get together and they challenge what is going on. They point at the problem and they expose it, or they seek to get it changed. And if they can't get it changed, then they expose it. And then we see change for the better in the academia world or in the political governmental world. So we see change for the better. But it isn't going to happen without an interruption. Somebody who is right has to be attentive to what is good for the human public and what is bad for the human public. So we have reached points in our growth as a people on this planet Earth, as communities of people on this planet Earth, where the old must be replaced with the new. So this old way of controlling the masses and managing the public has to be done away with. And I know some of you are guardians, and they have given you a small job in the establishment, and you always think that you know more than your leader. You think that they have given you something higher than what God has given your leader. Well, that is your privilege. But I'm telling you, you can go back and tell your bosses, the day is out. It is a new day. Oh, yes, it is a new day. We cannot continue to treat grown-ups in our public and in our residences, our neighborhood, their brains, and their intelligence like they are no more than babies. We have to respect the adult mind, because Allah will interrupt your thing. Yes, he will. He will interrupt it. So the change is now from appealing to the emotional side of life to appeal to the rational side of life. The land, that is what Jesus did. When he said, come from the water, follow me, and I will teach you how to become fishermen of men. That is what he was saying. That was the leadership telling me how many he was talking to. How many did he bring from fishing? 12. So that is the leadership. How many are in the president cabinet? 12. That is the leadership. So he was calling them to leadership of that time. So fishing the water of human sensitivity and sensibility. Now they were fishing from the water, right? They were fishing in the water of human life. Not that water that you got, that you go out there and look for to go and eat in Chicago. Not that lake, not that water. The water of human life, human composition. Your sensitivity and sensibility are both in the water. Sensibility means the ability to sense. Sensitivity means feeling, and sensibility means the ability to sense in your nature. But if they play upon the water all of the time and do not address you as land or a land creature, you will lose your land. The ability to respond. You will lose the rational ability to respond. As I said earlier, and you are just turned up to respond emotionally. The individual life of one person is the key. So the individual life of one person, that is the key. The life design and pattern for one person is the same in nature for every other person. Do you know when you go to a dentist, he doesn't say, what is your race? Do you have any other race in you before I start this procedure, drawing blood? Do you have any other race in you? I do not want to make a mistake. If you have some Spanish blood in you, no. The human being has human blood, right? Pure, real. True science is universal. It is the same everywhere. So a doctor can treat anybody, and he does not have to ask, wait a minute, let me go and get my manual on Negro. You are all the same. Your science is all the same. The science of your hair, your skin, your blood, your teeth, your bones, all of your sciences are the same. That's the God who made you. He made all of us the same so that we can be doctored on without a whole lot of unnecessary problems. But when it comes to teaching this religion, oh boy, we want a Negro religion. Give us a black religion. Where is that black? I don't want that one. Well, let us take out that which does not hold up with tested by truth and science and God's creation. Let us take that out of it. So it will be all of our religion. Let's take the white Lord out of Christianity. Isn't that what Allah says to the prophet? He says, say to them, let us come to terms that respect, he says. Say to them that let us come to terms that respect us equally. That we raise not from amongst ourselves, lords other than God. Racial images of God regress the human psyche. Do you think our Quran is not addressing racism there? That is what it is addressing. Now, you all have a white-looking man who belongs to a specific bloodline for a race or a group of people, and you have given us that type and telling us that is our God, our Lord. That Quran addresses that in many ways, and when it says, let us come to common terms that respects us equally, it is addressing a law that you made, and it serves your psyche to make your psyche super, but give the same law to a black man in Africa, and it will regress him. Church has to change. Again, the church has to change. Our African-American church has to change. And we have a lot of help on our side for Christianity now. When I shared with you yesterday that the priest said there has to be some fundamental major change in the Christianity if Christianity is to survive. I can't tell the church that. I cannot tell the black church that. I can't tell the Baptist convention that. I can't tell the holiness people that. They are not ready for that. But why not? Why I can't tell my students and the people who say they follow my leadership, why can't I tell you? Stand up in your own soul. So when I tell some of you, you become dead. You die right in your seat. Your thoughts are not moving. The blood has slowed up. This is us. We can change. You can get that old stuff that they ingrained in you. You can get it out. Stand up to it. You have to be able to stand up in your own soul. Do you know that? That is what it means. That Christ stood upon the water. He was an original man. He could stand in, he can stand up in his own soul. But the average one of us, if the soul gets disturbed, we are drowned by the water. So you have to stand up in your own soul. You have to stand up in your own soul. You have to stand up upon truth in your spiritual life. And as well as in every other form of life, stand up upon truth, whether it is your own feelings or not. And you have to change your feelings and fight your feelings. You have to have a battle with yourself. Isn't that the teaching of the prophet, that the greatest jihad is the jihad with your own self? I love boxing. A boxer has to train for a fight. He has to get himself into a condition for the fight. So this is a jihad. You have to train your soul, your psyche, your feeling, your sensitivity. You have to train your water to support truth in the face of challenges from the world. Coming together as Muslims should answer God's call. It has to be a training program to put us in the condition necessary to be successful against the challenges. Once we get our own life together and we feel confident that I am organized, I am self-composed for the job at hand, internally, then we are ready to join those who are similarly constituted internally to get the big job done. You might say, oh, Brother Imam, you have a job on your hand. Why? Because you are in that state of mind that I was in when I was a young minister, preaching my lungs out, damaging my nerves and heart, thinking that I had to get everybody to accept. We only need a few. I think it was Margaret Mead who said, only a few are needed to come together, organize, and they can change the world, she said. The world has been changed by a few well-qualified that came together. The world had been changed by the few, that few. And she said, not only has the world been changed by a few, but that the only way it ever happened. That's what she said. So you never should expect that a multitude of people are going to respond to the call of God or to the call of our prophet, peace be upon him, or a call of our imam. You don't ever expect the multitude to come to that. They are going to sit and listen, and they are going to back, and they are going back and eat Kentucky Fried Chicken, Popeye, or something, Burger King's or hamburger. They are going back to that. And they will watch the football game or the soap opera, and they are going to be the same old people they were before they heard Imam W.D. Muhammad in the Ramadan session. Sperm, some don't reach their egg. But look at the marvelous sign that God gives us in the creation of the human flesh. Science says that whom there is an intercharge between men and women to produce life, there are thousands, millions of life germs, and all of them have what God designed to become a human being. But most of them do not ever go and hit the mark. They don't hit the mark. They miss the mark. And they are just wasted. They are lost. Only one or two, or a very few in multiple births, hit the mark or reach the mark. And they say they are swimmers, too. Ask what science says. They are swimmers. They are fish. Now, I know they are not fish, but as a little germ, they move in the liquid like fish. And God has put it in their very makeup, an urge and a spirit to go where they have to go. They don't have brains yet. They don't have eyes yet. But they know where they are supposed to go by virtue of how they were made by God. They know where they have to go. They go there with all of them trying to get there. But most of them, they don't have the spirit. They are in the ocean, oceanic liquid, but they don't have the spirit. So they don't have it. So that's life. Billions of energized influences shooting from the Quran. Let us get it. That's a sign from God which reveals that there are signs in the heavens and signs in the earth and signs in you. And that is what Allah says in the Quran. So this blessed book, the holy, generous book, let us apply that then to our reading of what is happening right now with this work that we are doing. Billions of energized influences are shooting from the Quran. And when I recite it, it's shooting from me. And it is going out there to reach your heart and your mind. How many do you expect to be developed and become reality? Only a very few. So let me tell you all who are in the water and you didn't reach the mark. Stay in limbo long enough and we are going to create something that is going to work all of you up, wake all of you up. Yes, I think we have something that is going to give you all a resurrection, praise be to Allah. So this language is something, boy, that Satan, I'm telling you, he's got into the language and I know he is having a lot of fun. He has so much fun, he is making me laugh, resurrection. So that's where we are concentrating now for the completion of this day. This day's program or presentation, we are concentrating on the challenges to us to develop out of a few who do the job for the many. So that's what we want. And you don't have to be in my immediate presence or my staff or in my circle of workers. No, Allah says, wherever you are, work in your place. Allah says, I am a worker. You don't see me. Where am I working? You don't see me. But look at the great work that I did. And I'm doing all the time. I am a worker. So you don't have to depend on coming under organizations to do work. Allah knows that some organizations wouldn't want you. Some organizations would be afraid of you. Some organizations would be so selfish, they don't want to share authority and work with you. So Allah says, work you in your place. Now, you know we are supposed to belong to the Masjid. That is number one. So we are supposed to belong to the body of believers, and they are carrying out their duties as a collective body to conform to what Allah has revealed. For Muslim life, shahada, prayer, charity, everything, don't abandon that. You contribute to that. But you don't have to be in a place where they pass around the bucket to contribute to that. Sometimes the place where you are or were going to have prayer and whatever, it has become so unattractive to you that it's just depressing for you to go there. So then you have to do what Imam W.D. Muhammad does a lot. Charity is best done in privacy. So you have to see a poor person in the streets, and he asks you for some coffee, money, or some help. You have to make zakat, do your sadaqah, your zakat right there. Let's get away from that old narrow-minded religion. Allah doesn't want us like that. The Quran doesn't guide us to that like that. You don't have to give zakat to somebody in a mosque, in a place. You can give zakat to any human being. Allah loves you to have compassion on human life, compassion with the suffering masses. The people, Allah says, spend in secrecy and in open. And the spending that you do without anybody to acknowledge it from your community is a greater charity than the charity you do and get your name recognized. Understand that. So let us be like Mr. Farad. The man was great. Yes. He came in dyed garments, as he said, looking like the Kavi. He said he came in wearing the Kavi clothes and disguised. Then he said, nevertheless, I will come back. He told his followers that. He preached amongst the people. A lot of you don't know this. For 3 years. Most of them in Detroit. Then he went to Chicago. And then he went to Milwaukee. He went to those three places. Mr. Farad himself with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad accompanying him. And there are believers still living who know this amongst us. There are believers right here in this spot with me who know that. They heard Mr. Farad himself preach it. Sister Bernadette from Detroit was 101 or 102 years old when she passed. And wherever she heard I was speaking, she would try her best to be there in the audience. She heard Mr. Farad. She knew him just like my father did. She was a close friend of my father and mother, too. And there are others who know of that time, too. There are only a few living now, but there are still a few living now who actually got their names back in that time. He said, we are going to get every one of them. Speaking of our people, he wasn't going after, and he knew all of them wouldn't become Muslims, but he said, we have 17 million keys, and we are going after each and every one of them. My father said, he said, brothers, we are determined to get all of them, each and every one of them. Now, this man wasn't even African-American, and he said that and left it with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as leader, and later that he established back at that time in Detroit, firstly and then in Chicago and lastly in Milwaukee. Sin if Muslims separate from black people. So we have experience that makes it sinful for us. to separate ourselves from the rest of our people. We have experienced a life together as a people, and I'm telling you, it is a major sin. Some of us don't know it, but it is a major sin, but you are not punished for what you don't know. It is a major sin for any of us to see ourselves separated from our people. We can't accept that, no. Because what I am individually is because of what we are or what we have experienced together, past and present. So I feel like I do, and I want what I want, and I'm bothered by what I'm bothered with because I belong to my people, not Egyptians, not Pakistanis, not Arabs, because I belong to my people. That is why I feel and respond. And that is why my spirit is burdened the way it is burdened, because I belong to a people and my genes have a memory for being persecuted, rejected, tortured, killed, and my ancestors before me. We all have this. We all share this in common. Black psyche shares slave experience bonded us. So this is not a Mexican thing. This is not a Polish thing. This is not a Japanese thing. This is a black thing. So this is an African-American thing. We have one life, and that life is the life of our people. And we have a prominent psyche that is strong because of our shared experience over the many generations. I can't ignore that. We have feelings. Do you know we have group identity? That's what I'm dwelling on. We have group identity. And the group identity is more important than the individual identity. So we are in the collective life more than we are more than the private life. What makes up my identity for the greater part is our group life, our collective life as a people. So I look at my creation now, how it has formed and conformed and rebelled. So when I look at it, I don't see Wallace, the welder. I don't see Wallace, the God, who was doing the walk at the dance. I don't see him. He's small in my life. But I see Wallace, who has a spirit to establish his life with his people so that his life fulfills a hunger in his soul for establishment as a people. The collective body, that's where I am. And that's where practically all of us are, whether we know it or not. We are in the collective life more than we are in the private life. So we are building a leadership that we need to be successful with our plans and with our life on this earth, that we are trying to bring where to Allah wants us or wants it. World design always weaker than the design of God. Allah created life upon a plane, and we are life, we're life-free thinkers, free spirits to accept to stand with God, stay with God, or to follow the influence of the world. We have that freedom, but in time, that which is stronger is going to overcome that which is weaker. And no matter what, the world designed for our creation, their design is always weaker than the design of God. And in the time, the spirit, the people will manifest even in the individual. But when it manifests in the individual, it is not that individual spirit, but the individual has taken into his heart and his life and his mind the collective spirit, the spirit of the people. And in time, it will overcome, and it will do away with the false creation and bring the creation back to work, back to God. A spirit to return to Allah. So when Allah says, and God you return, and to Allah you must return, you don't think that means dying in the graveyard. Let's get away from these lessons of important ideas and pictures we have in our mind. Oh, yes, he returned to Allah. Who returned to Allah? I saw him put in the ground, and they put dirt over him. So what are you talking about? He returned to Allah. His earth returned to earth. That's what he did. He was made of earth, and we put him back into the earth. But what about his spirit? What about his soul? He left it with us, and it's our obligation to return it to God. And the only way we can return it to God is to return it to the plan and the community plan that God wanted for that life to be in. When now it has had meaning. Yes. I want to return to Allah. All of us have a spirit to return to Allah. Spirit will never be satisfied until we have an ummatin Islamiyah following this Quran and following the life of Muhammad as it is being opened up to us now. Praise be to Allah. Allahu Akbar. So that's where we are going. We were created to go there. We got to go there. We for sure was created to serve the Most High God. I remember the teaching Jamil Daeed. He was putting together a little performance, like a play for the students to put on an engagement in Chicago under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, of course, and under the Temple of Islam at that time. And one part of the play was, in fact, it was the final climaxing of that play, and Imam Donnell was in that play. He was good actor. He was Bilal. He had a lot of starring roles back then. Not in the play. There was no Bilal in this play. But I'm sure I'm saying, as a muezzin, he was and still is our Bilal. And it kind of went like this. Imam Danel Karim, Imam W.D. Muhammad, begin to sign in Arabic. We for sure were created to serve the Most High God. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak. Before we go this evening, I want to read something that was very important. The Quran contains books, kutibun, books in their corrected. So this is from addressing the people of the book, Jews and Christians directly, and to all Jews and Christians directly, and to all people indirectly, because the Prophet came to give the message of Islam to all people, but it addresses the people of the book directly. The Quran contains books in the correct form. Would the Arabs have known anything about this? No. The Arabs were not people of the book. So how could they know of this? How could they know about this? The book being in their corrected, or even in their incorrect state. They were not people who received scripture. So that statement would not mean anything to them, at all to them, until it was taught to them. They would have to be taught the revelation. Then that statement would mean something to them. But any person of the book, person of scripture, they would understand what it was talking about. Those who are studying the scripture, are acquainted with scripture, whether the Bible, the Old Testament, the Torah, or the Gospel, or the Injil, they were acquainted with those books. So when the prophet said this, they would understand. But the Arabs would not, unless the prophet or someone had taught them. They were called in the Quran the Umayyun people. And Umayyun means that they did not know scripture. They were not people who could not, they were not people who could read scripture or had it to read it or had it read to them. Prophet Muhammad came to a people who had not received scripture before. That is the Arab people, Imam W.P. Muhammad. Also a perfect human being. A perfect human being. I don't like to think that I am created to sin. I don't like to think that I have to become an angel in order to be perfect. I would like to think that I could become a good human being and make a mistake tonight and still be perfect. I am a perfect human being. A perfect human being does not mean that I am an angel. It means that I am a perfect human being. And a perfect human being is a well-meaning person that will repent for wrong. That's a perfect human being. And well-meaning person that will repent for the wrong that he or she has done. That as perfect as I want to be, Imam W.T. Muhammad. Salakallahu Zadeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Day. We thank New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, Marashi, for allowing us to come before you once again. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m., inshallah. It only means if it please God. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.